Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Tom, we could have these wind gusts today up to 30 miles an hour. Hate to see that, because I've got this little mama hummingbird, and she's built her nest, of course, on this very, very, well, it's not basically a twig right outside.
You didn't put up a hummingbird house for this little bird?
No, this little bird has there's two little hummingbirds in there, because the little hummingbird peaks are up there, and she's running around feeding them, and every time that wind blows, oh my goodness.
I'll bet you green things has things like that over there. You know,
I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice if there was like a little baby hummingbird seat belt that they could have on, so when they're bouncing around, I'm so worried they're going to like fly out of the nest.
But I wonder if a baby hummingbird wings sound more like a buzz than the mama hummingbird wings sound like.
I cannot believe how busy she is. I panic every time she's gone. I think, oh, there she's gone, or they've died or whatever. But no, there she is back feeding them. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things Zocalo Village. We love Green Things. Perfect time of year to go over there and get some spring gardening done. Green Things Zocalo Village in the naming rights to our studio, which is part of KVOI. And we now have 5 radio stations under one roof here. Our latest acquisition at Bustos Media, the very popular station, 101.7 The Drive. But this one's 1030 KVOI The Voice, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk on the radio. We're in our 14th year with our radio program, our 36th year involved in Tucson media. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast going all the way back to the first week of January 2011 when we launched our program. That's at buckmastershow.com for the podcasts and the live feed. When we do our telephone interviews, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of media shout-outs. One of them, I can do eye-to-eye with the guy from TucsonSentinel.com, the editor, co-founder, and publisher, Dylan Smith. Hey, Dylan, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How do I get some hummingbirds? All we have around our house are doves, and let me tell you, these doves are stupid, and I end up with the stupidest doves of all.
Well,
build their nests in the most redonkulous places.
How do any of them ever make
they're
it?
So
I mean,
dumb.
You see them all over the ground.
I love their cooing noise they make. It's very relaxing, but they are just the dopiest of birds.
Yeah.
My little Benny Schnauzers think it's baby bird season because of all of the doves that just have their babies right in our backyard, and they just scoop them up.
That's Nancy Gutierrez. I'll introduce Nancy. No, it's okay, Nancy. I'll introduce Nancy in a moment, but first a shout out to Green Valley News and Saharita's son, Dan Shear, and his team down there, and we will have Dan back with us very soon. He's been pretty busy. Our Friday Focus interview, we welcome back to the show State Representative Nancy Gutierrez, Legislative District 18, a Democrat. In fact, she's not only a Democrat, but a powerful Democrat, minority whip in the Arizona House of Representatives, one-time math teacher who is now transitioned over to teaching yoga at Tucson High. So great to have you back. Let me ask you, why did you abandon the math?
It's great to be back. Actually, I started teaching elementary school for several years, and then my husband and I were stationed at Fort Drum, New York, and I couldn't get an elementary teaching job, so I taught math at the community college there, Jefferson Community College, for a couple years. And then when we moved to Las Vegas, we moved to Sierra Vista. We were stationed in Sierra Vista
At Fort Huachuca?
Yes, at Fort Huachuca. And I taught 1-2 multi-age combo at Huachuca Mountain Elementary School, and then stayed in elementary for a few more years, and then stayed home with my daughters and raised them and volunteered, and then became a yoga teacher in 08. And in 2013, Tucson High called and said, hey, the school year started. We need another yoga teacher. And I said, okay, then I get to use everything that I've kind of worked for at the same time.
Part of yoga, as you well know, and I'm sure a lot of listeners know, is breath work, which you, sure tried to incorporate during really a hectic week at the legislature, but it's not under your current situation. It's a hectic day. You're only meeting on Wednesdays.
We're only on the floor on Wednesdays, but I'm still up there a few days a week, meeting with stakeholders, meeting with the reproductive rights stakeholders, and with our members to get our strategy together and ready to go to those floor votes. But it's been a stressful couple of weeks with these one-dayers.
So the House managed to pull three Republican votes over to make the repeal on the House side work of the 1864 territorial abortion law. Mm-hmm. How were you able to do that?
Well, one of their own, Matt Gress, was the first one to, want to repeal the ban. And so he was working within his caucus. But our member, Stephanie Stahl Hamilton, she was the sponsor of the bill and has a great relationship with Representative Dunn and was speaking to him a lot. And then we had other members reach out to anyone that they had relationships that they thought would be able to see the light and explain that some of them have very competitive primaries.
Some of them, it may be like a suicide run now for their primary.
Or
they were looking at that as like, man, if I go over this, that definitely could be the end of my political career, right?
I think that was definitely motivation, because it was a complete ban and criminalization of not only patients, but of the doctors performing any type of abortion. And we heard from many doctors saying that, emergency rooms were getting very tricky, because how close does a pregnant person have to be to death in order to treat that person? I mean, that it's ludicrous. So I do think that these three Republicans were thinking about their political career, but I will give them the benefit of the doubt that they were also understanding what a complete and total ban is just horrific for healthcare in Arizona.
Okay, let's bring in Dylan.
So moving ahead, the state Senate is expected to approve this repeal on Wednesday of next week.
Wednesday.
And then it'll go right to the governor and be signed. But it won't take effect for
90,
quite a while. And we don't even know when, right?
No, we don't. It'll be 90 days after we sign EDI, which we don't know when we're going to sign EDI.
And that's the end of the legislative session, which means you have approved a budget and passed it and sent that off to the governor.
Yes.
And everything else that still might be done. The main thing is the budget, though.
Yes. And this session, we will not approve a budget until all of the other business is taken care of. Last session, we approved a budget, I think in April, and then we continued the session until, it was July 30th, I think, because that was my first day of teaching back at school. So my last day of session was my first day back to school.
Last year was kind of an anomaly budget-wise. There have been plenty of years where the budget isn't done until like pretty much the last day of June, right before the fiscal year starts.
Yes, last year they approved it early. I was a no, as were all of my LD18 colleagues, but they pushed through a budget and it did us no good, because we continued to see bills and it was the Prop 400 situation that we were waiting for. So this year, everyone is on board with not okaying a budget until everything's done.
Is it expected to be somewhat more timely this time around, or is it going to be one of those, middle of the night, 3 a.m., pushing the clock back, pretending it's still midnight on the last day of June?
We have been told not to make vacation plans for June.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Although we're ready right now to do it. I mean, what are we waiting for? We got the latest numbers. JLBC and the governor's team have to come together on what our deficit really is, but it seems like they should do that now.
Leaving the budget aside, pivoting right back to abortion real quick for me, there could be quite a long stretch where that ban is legally in effect. Whether it's actively enforced is another question, but it's supposed to take effect sometime between the next 2 weeks and maybe the beginning of June. It's still a little bit of a gray area, right?
Yes, it is. We're waiting for some, because it's still in the courts right now. But our intention was that if the legislature and the governor has signed this repeal to the ban, that it would give judges certainly our legislative intent, and they would know that this is about to become a law, so they would be less inclined to enforce
You think doctors will be on a little bit more firm ground to continue providing reproductive health care in that it could be 5 or 6 months?
Right. Yes, that was our intent. And we are talking to, you know, physicians, we're talking to the abortion rights coalitions, and that was also their thinking, that we would be saving lives repealing this ban, because at least that would be on the books that it was going to be repealed. You know, it's still, if we would still be at a 15-week ban with no exception for rape or incest. So that is unacceptable. And we definitely, as a Democratic caucus, are not okay with leaving it there. And we support, I won't speak for everyone, but I've been carrying the AAA petition and getting signatures for them, because
which would put a right to abortion in the state constitution.
Right, exactly, which is absolutely what we want.
Do you know how many signatures are required on that one?
I don't know the exact amount, but it was close to 300,000. Mm-hmm. So they want to double, triple that, and mm-hmm. there are over 500,000 signatures, and it's due in July. So mm-hmm. they're making their goals, and it's looking really good. Of course, it's the same Supreme Court, you know, that put into effect this total ban that will have some say on whether or not this mm-hmm. petition will get onto the ballot. So that's a little scary.
I was just wondering about the petition. Could there be some kind of like a competing legislative driven initiative on the ballot that I'm not in anybody's head, but it would seem like to confuse mm-hmm. the voters. How does that stand right now? What are you hearing?
We have not seen any of that language, but a couple weeks, I guess it was just last week. It's kind of a time warp in these past few weeks, but last week, the Republicans' quote unquote plan was leaked. And so their PowerPoint of how they were going to confuse voters came out, and they did list some different ballot initiatives that they would run through the House and Senate. This week, there was a Rules Committee hearing. However, the Rules Committee was expected to say whether a bill was constitutional or not, with no wording. There was literally no language given. So, of course, our Democratic members voted no. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But we do think that that is something that they may employ, although if they don't have, you know, the key is 31. And so
31 votes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we had 31 on Wednesday. I'm hopeful that we would still have 31 to not have those competing, because it would definitely confuse voters. They have already put 8 or 9 of these ballot initiatives.
Yeah, we're already looking at a long ballot.
It's going to be an incredibly long ballot.
There could be 12, 13 initiatives.
Yes.
Who knows? I mean, it's amazing.
Rather than going through the pretty enormous project of gathering 350,000
uh-huh. yeah.
and, you know, really a goal of 500,000 or more, you know, signatures to get a citizen initiative on the ballot, mm-hmm. the legislature can just do a referendum with a simple majority of a vote in each house,
which is what they have done. And there are many of the horrible bills that Governor Katie Hobbs vetoed last session, so they just brought them as these HCRs and SCRs.
And vetting signatures, Dylan, you know this, it's become even more difficult. The whole process, you know, of getting enough signatures is really a daunting task.
And especially for initiatives, citizen yes. initiatives have more hoops to jump through than mm-hmm. Political candidates mm-hmm. do when they're out getting signatures yeah. to get themselves on
they
the ballot.
Do. And it's going to be very hot this summer, and it's a scary atmosphere out there. So I am so grateful for anyone who is carrying that ballot initiative.
All right. Why don't we pause right here? And when we come back with Nancy Gutierrez, the Arizona House of Representatives Minority Whip, we'll talk a little bit about that budget situation and what I'm hearing and seeing stories about a lot of red ink suddenly in the Arizona budget. But we can talk about that after we take the break and we talk about my favorite bakery in town. And you know what that is, don't you, Nancy?
Yes, I do.
That's Mona's Danish Bakery. And Dylan knows as well, because when I go on vacation, Dylan's going to be sitting here also talking about Mona's.
Happily.
Northeast corner of Swan and
so
Sunrise.
That's part of the game.
And one thing Dylan will be mentioning, and I'll mention it right now, and Steve, the owner, wants it mentioned, is the fact they did apply for the liquor license, and it was granted, and they are utilizing it so people can enjoy an alcoholic beverage with their lunch.
Yeah, go up there for a sandwich and a beer.
You
sounds
bet.
Sounds good. That's an LD18, I might add.
It is. Yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And I was up there actually on Sunday and did lunch up there. Wonderful. Had a hot turkey sandwich, so good. Anyway, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Take a break right here. More with Nancy Gutierrez and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster here in the driver's seat. Tom on the other side of the glass. To my right, Dylan Smith, the co-founder, editor, and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, which is, let's see, my show is in its 14th year, so I'm going to take a stab at Dylan's operation. 15?
Correct, sir.
Got it. 15th year for the Tucson Sentinel, which is doing very well. And we can talk about that later in the show. But right now we continue with State Representative Nancy Gutierrez, Legislative District Number 18, which is my district, the Catalina Foothills, Oro Valley.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of Oro Valley, a little bit of Marana, and then it goes all the way east to
east, far east side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wrightstown and Pantano area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a pretty good sized district.
It's a big chunk.
Minority Whip, which is basically number two in leadership at the Arizona House of Representatives on the Dem side. Is that correct?
Number three. So we have a leader, an assistant leader, and then a whip.
Yeah. And speaking of leaders, House Speaker Toma kind of went, there was some retribution aimed at Democrats after the vote. Did he take away some committee positions of some Democrats?
He did. After the vote, after the second motion that would have sent our bill straight to the Senate and then straight to Governor Hobbs for a signature, that angered him a lot. And so he and Representative Grantham, who was the Speaker Pro Tem, lashed out and said that they took Mr. Gress's Appropriations Committee away.
Right away.
No discussion. And then Mr. De Los Santos, who was our assistant leader, his Rules Committee and Appropriations Committee away. With absolutely, they didn't talk to our leader about that. Nothing. It was very disrespectful.
So that was targeting both Democrats and one of the Republicans.
Correct.
Who came across the aisle to support the abortion ban repeal.
Yes. And Representative Gress is definitely seen as the leader of people coming to our side of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's go back to the budget picture. I think it was a week ago that Governor Hobbs announced that the money picture does not look very favorable right now. In fact, she instituted a hiring freeze. What is your take on what is your understanding of where we are financially in the state of Arizona?
We are in a large deficit right now. And
a year or so ago, we were talking about a wash in money, and now we're talking about a big deficit.
Correct. We have a flat tax that now we're seeing the effects of that flat tax. We do not have the income that we had. And we're also seeing, almost $1 billion in ESA vouchers that were not budgeted for at this level. So you take those two hits to the budget, and of course, it's going to lead to a deficit. And we saw this coming, but, we will continue. We will have to make cuts. There will definitely be cuts. But as a Democratic caucus, we don't want cuts to any K through 20. So the universities, community colleges, they run at bare minimum budgets right now. We also don't want cuts to the housing money that we put in last year, although most of that has been allotted out. So that's good. Healthcare, we don't want cuts to healthcare. We don't want to kick folks off who just got put on our state healthcare, especially kids.
Does that mean the rainy day fund has been depleted, or is that a different situation?
No, the rainy day fund is still there. And some have said they don't want to delve into that rainy day fund.
Which is quite a bit, isn't it?
It is quite a bit. And, I don't see how we're not going to do that, because we do have essential functions that, we can cut out a lot of. Governor Hobbs put out a budget at the December, January, and, she did make cuts. She pulled back a lot of the pork that we saw from the Republicans in the budget last year. And she took away STOs, and she took away a lot of the ESA money, and she did come up with a balanced budget. So we'll see how far we can push.
Boy, this could be a very contentious couple of months up there.
It could be. I'm sure it will be, as a matter of fact. But it's just the leadership who we've been told. So Speaker of the House, leader, leaders of both the House and Senate who are, and President of the Senate who are going to be negotiating with Governor Hobbs's team. We are told that it won't be the appropriations chairs this year. So maybe that will help.
All right, Dylan Smith.
Another kind of change in the budget. I don't know if it, how much it would contribute to a deficit forecast, but a whole lot of federal COVID money is going away for both the state and, you know, cities and towns, counties.
Yes.
And so that means a lot of programs are going to be wound down as that money stops coming.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. That is definitely happening.
Are there programs that you think should be somehow continued, but you know, the state would have to figure out how to pay for them?
Well, child care money. I mean, we have to have quality child care in our state. And Pima County has actually come up with lots of creative ways to use federal money and ESSER dollars and things like that. But they will not be able to continue without budget money. And it's to the tune of about $100 million.
So what would you consider the pork that needs to be cut?
Well, the governor already has stopped highway and road new projects that haven't been started or in a place that can be stopped safely. But, you know, we definitely don't want to give millions of dollars to rodeos or, you know, just these pet projects that only deal with one, you know, one tiny bit of the state. I think we need to prioritize the programs that benefit the entire state, like K through 20 education and our health care and child care. Without child care, we don't have a workforce. So, and housing. I mean, we have it. We have an issue with affordable housing in our state right now.
That last budget got passed rather more easily because every member of the legislature was kind of, you know, given some money to distribute how they see fit, and legislators would, you know, kind of band together, some of them, to put more money into a project. You think all of that should go away?
I think that was an inappropriate way to do the budget last year.
How do you convince people to vote for it, though?
Well,
something has to pass a Republican legislature and be signed by a Democratic governor.
It does. I'm not sure how we're going to do that, but the Republicans had those buckets of money that they each used for themselves. The Democrats pulled all of our money to fund, you know, what we thought was important for Arizona. So I would imagine that constituents need to start talking to their Republican representatives and asking them to pass a budget that will benefit all of them and not just their pet projects.
And the educational funding, some of that has to be renewed every year, that infrastructure for
Absolutely.
Education. I remember last year, it was right up until the deadline. It has not passed yet this year, as I recall, right?
Right. And schools are also dealing with Superintendent Tom Horn, who has been in the news lately and in a public feud with me, it seems, even though I'm just asking for his spreadsheets on how he was holding federal dollars that we get for Title I monies. And we have schools in Arizona who are being, we are hearing from that they had 20% of their budget held with no explanation and no warning. Yes, they have fewer Title I students this year, but I mean, that should be explained. There should be meetings and spreadsheets and timelines, and that was not given to any of them. So they are really frustrated, and they're canceling summer programs. They're laying off teachers, and it's just not appropriate to do that without explanation.
What has he said about you recently?
That I'm spreading misinformation, which I'm not, and that, you know, he doesn't appreciate me making this public, but it has to be public. I haven't disparaged him. I just want to see the numbers, as do all of our superintendents. We all attended the State Board of Education meeting on Monday, and the room was filled with superintendents wanting to know where this money was and why they didn't have it.
And so they didn't get an explanation.
They did not. They had Chris Brown make a presentation with no numbers, just explaining that it was a very complicated formula. You know, and there were superintendents who have been there for decades they understand the formula. They would be able to decipher in spreadsheets. So we're still asking for those numbers.
Those are public records. Why isn't he handing them over?
That's a great question. They even had a meeting with the legislature that they made through Kavanaugh and didn't tell any of us about it until the last minute. And then we're shocked when none of us came. And then they met this week. I was not able to go because it was a last minute meeting and somehow a fire alarm went off and it was cut short. So, but even during that, no spreadsheets that were actual data as to what they did to come up with the numbers that were given to districts. It's not okay.
Then there's the whole issue of accountability for our school vouchers. That's something.
Which there is.
So many people have asked, where is the accountability? And we've had Mr. Horn on a couple of times asking that question. I don't think we get a straight answer because he says it's not costing the state as much as portrayed.
That is, yes. It costs the state more than public school. Mm-hmm. And there is no accountability. There is zero accountability, and this is the scary part, for the money nor for the education. Students receiving ESA vouchers are not required to do any type of testing, any type of just proof that they have learned anything. Public schools test all the time. We have to submit budgets.
And the homeschoolers don't have to prove anything.
They do not.
And the legislature keeps imposing new, very specific curriculum requirements on public schools.
They sure do.
Some of them might be just fine and dandy and, you know, widely approved of. Mm-hmm. But public schools have to teach some certain, you know, very specific things to kids. One of the latest that pops into my head is making sure that kids are taught about the Holocaust.
Correct.
You know, that's required by law of public schools in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Homeschool? Any other school?
No. Private school? No. ESA, you know, micro schools, that is not required. And every time we had something like that come up on a bill, I made an amendment to include any school that received ESA vouchers, and it was just ridiculous that I would even dare to do that. And it was not passed. I mean, it's a huge difference in accountability.
All right. Nancy Gutierrez, any final thoughts before we let you go?
I just appreciate being here, and I appreciate you both for the work that you do.
Thank you.
Making sure that readers and people do know what's going on. My daughter is a journalism major at NAU, so I know how important it is, and we just need to keep putting the truth out there.
She may work for Dylan someday.
You never know. You never know.
Dylan continues to expand, luckily.
We're hiring right now.
That's what I thought.
She's a sophomore. She's in England right now on a semester abroad. So,
nice.
You know, if you ever need a Flagstaff associate, let me know.
Okay.
All right. Nancy Gutierrez, thank you very much. The House of Representatives Minority Whip on the Democratic side. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
All right. I've got a couple of things for Dylan. A couple of breaking stories, including the situation over at the University of Arizona. They have hired a new provost, and a lot of the faculty is just not happy about this hire at all. Are they, Dylan?
Well, overall, there's a whole lot of dissension and infighting and backbiting going on over at the U of A. So.
Yeah, we'll pick up on that in a moment. Take a break right here.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Thanks to State Representative Nancy Gutierrez. Didn't give Nancy a lot of time, kind of a last-minute fill-in for Arizona Attorney General Chris Mays, who was scheduled to be with us. But, of course, there was the national story, Dylan Smith here from TucsonSentinel.com, the national story about Arizona and the grand jury indictment over the so-called fake electors. Mm-hmm. And Chris put out a kind of a video news release that just that was picked up by everybody. But they say that they are not doing kind of any further interviews right now. But anyway,
there's plenty of other stuff we could ask Mays about. In addition to, I mean, of course, we'd try and ask her about these indictments,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
The Attorney General has been very active in a whole lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff. All over the news.
Nancy Gutierrez has also got a finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Yeah, so we very much appreciate the minority whip coming in to the show today. And Chris Mays' people say that they will do their best to get Chris scheduled again very soon for our program. I'm just looking at your feed at TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith. A lot of news this week.
It's been busy.
Yeah, the U of A has now a new provost, Joseph Glover, called a divisive candidate by a group of over 100 college professors. I'm looking at your story on the Sentinel. This doesn't sound like the guy that the professors really wanted.
Well, you know, there's a whole lot of trouble going on over at the U of A, and Robert Robbins, is being pushed out basically because of this the financial turmoil they're in, which has led to leadership turmoil. And this provost position was actually empty, not because of that, but because the previous provost resigned in the wake of the shooting of the professor on campus a couple of years ago, and at the same time that the former UA police chief was pushed out. So, you know, there's just a whole lot going on at the U of A, and certainly there are a ton of professors who were not in favor of this pick for provost. They favored one of the other candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And
the woman candidate, I think.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
But it's going to be an interesting situation for this person coming in, not knowing who their boss is going to be very soon. You know, the days of Robbins being the president at the U of A are very short indeed.
Yeah, I got to wonder, if I was in that position, would I want to take the job? the job, knowing that'd be a new president. A new president, well, it's like,
could be completely different. Somebody
people.
You don't agree with. The president and the provost basically have a relationship akin to the president of the United States and their chief of staff. The provost is the enforcer, sometimes the bad guy who delivers bad news, who ends up, they're the person who fires people, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got a lot of news here. I'm scanning through the TucsonSentinel.com, the feed. Looks like Nina Trasoff dropped out as one of the candidates, dozen or so candidates for Tucson City Council.
Correct.
But we'll know that next week, maybe? No, I think it's the week after.
The week after.
For Kasachek's seat.
Yeah, this is to fill the Midtown Ward 6 seat that Steve Kasachek resigned. There are, I think, now 11 candidates remaining, including a former member of the council, Karen Ulick, who was elected a couple of times and then also served on an interim basis in an appointment. Mm-hmm. She moved a few years ago. So she's now lives in that ward, and she threw her name into the hat. And the members of the council are supposed to each come up with a list of their top choices, and then they review that, and then they come up with the final person that they're going to vote to appoint for this last year and a half of that term.
You're getting a lot of traffic on this story about 86-year-old Victor Borg, B-O-R-G, who is closing his boot business that he has owned since 1970, Stewart Boot Company. I've got looking at the picture of Mr. Borg. He looks pretty good for 86.
Yeah, he tried to find somebody to buy this business, which has been open since the early 1940s in South Tucson, making custom Western wear cowboy boots. But he hit that point where he needs to hang up his hat and put his tools down. He's been doing it for a long, long time, and he couldn't find anyone who wants to buy the business. Western wear has been really taken over by mass-produced stuff that's sold at Boot Barn. People want much more affordable boots, and they're willing to pay what it takes to have, not just a custom boot made, but a custom fitting that is just for you, and a wooden last formed where you can go back and get the same pair of boots made when you need them.
Wow.
And so Victor Borg has just giant files about customer measurements and all of these individual lasts for custom boots. And he's going to try and, return those to customers now that he's closing and no one's buying this business, if they want to, be able to hang on to them and have them if they're going to maybe go to another custom boot maker.
A lot of notable people have bought boots there.
And we've heard, just since we published this story yesterday afternoon, really a tremendous outpouring of stories from the community, people talking about how they bought their boots there, generations of their family have gone there. So it's a pretty poignant tale.
It's interesting that the company Stewart Boots started in León, Mexico in 1940. Bootmaker Ronnie Stewart moved the business to Tucson in 1955. Gabby Giffords is one of the notables who bought boots there. Actor Robert Wagner, the Peach Boys, comedian Billy Crystal, and the main cast members for the movie City Slickers.
It's it's been a pretty well-known small business in South Tucson, and those really just amazingly bright yellow and red boxes are, known all over as being a mark of a damn fine pair of boots.
So is he selling?
Nobody wants to buy the business, so it's just closing. Somebody wants to buy the property, so he's going to be, winding things up by June 1st.
Yeah, and some of these boots, though, can be very pricey. Tom Fairbanks put up a pair of boots. I guess that pair that you're showing me, Tom, is somebody else's.
Those are Roy Rogers' Double Eagle boots.
Oh.
And I don't know, apparently these have an association with Roy Rogers because they sold for $6,500 at an auction.
That's a nice pair.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there have been a lot of knockoffs with those double eagles, an eagle on the front and an eagle on the back with the wings.
Well, I'm sure that Mr. Stewart and Mr. Borg, you know, sure you're going to pay a little more, right, for custom boots, but they'll last you
forever.
It
won't be $6,500.
No, it won't be $6,500.
Well, but, I think most of their boots run, you know, the very custom boots run in the range of, you know, the high $100, you know, $600 and up. Mm-hmm. You could probably spend a whole lot more for something that's elaborately tooled and everything. But, you know, for something that is, you know, basically a lifetime investment that you could take care of and go back and get resold, and that is actually just, you know, absolutely custom made to fit your foot and, you know, whatever foot problems you have, you know, that's something very different than just buying a pair of sneakers off the shelf, right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, Dylan, any final thoughts? People can find out more about TucsonSentinel.com and what you do by going to TucsonSentinel.com, and you've got a couple of summer interns coming in who will enhance your reporting staff.
Indeed. Well, you know, we're about to hire a couple of new reporters who will join our newsroom. And as well, we've got some interns coming, both from the U of A journalism program, but also coming from New York to spend the summer with us reporting on Tucson, coming from Columbia Journalism School, and the Craig Newmark School of Journalism at CUNY. They're both master's students, and we're really looking forward to seeing what all of these young reporters can dig into while they're here. We think it's really important to, you know, pass along some of what our really experienced journalists like Jim Ninsel and Blake Morlock and Paul Ingram have learned in their many years of reporting.
Yep. You got some really a lot of years of experience over there when you put all that together.
A couple,
that's for sure. All right. Hey, Dylan, 2 weeks from today, you'll be seated in the chair here.
And, I will?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I better
put
do that.
Put that on your calendar.
I better add it.
Put it on your calendar. All right. We'll take a break right here. Dan Gibson's on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We will get to Dan right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region, averaging more than $100 million in tax revenue each year. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review prior to a May 2025 election. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
We are ready to kick off the weekend. Time to stir it up with Dan Gibson, our host of Weekend Watch. Weekend Watch presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, there's always a lot going on. You can check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning there and then take the three-hour road trip approximately east of Tucson. A ton of things to do and some good eating over there as well. Some very established New Mexican restaurants that have been there forever in downtown historic Silver City. All right, speaking of eating, I'm sure Dan Gibson has something on his agenda for the Weekend Watch. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing well. Can I throw in a Silver City tip for you?
They would be very appreciative if you would.
Okay. Sure. It's this Sunday, April 28th, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., so you can still make it back to Tucson, you know, get ready for the work week ahead and everything. Little Toad Creek in Silver City, that's at 200 North Bullard Street. The March Divide is playing. It's one guy, Jared Putnam, but I've seen him play a couple times. Really enjoyable. Plays some like 80s sort of alternative covers, yeah. Has his own original music, lots of hooks. Really enjoyable. Go check that out if you have a chance.
Yeah, and that's a fun place, Little Toad Creek Inn. That's always a fun venue. Just real home style, kickback, and great way to spend a Sunday afternoon. What else is going on, Dan?
Oh, yeah, speaking of Tucson, we're in the midst of the Arizona International Film Festival, which is been running a really long time, really great collection of films. Two highlights from their schedule, but they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. Sunday night, their closing night film is actually happening outdoors at the St. Augustine Mercado Annex. They have Welcome to Kitty Town and The Lure. Tickets are $10. You can buy them online. You can see two movies, almost like a drive-in, but it's you walking up. There'll be seating, and you can enjoy all the foods and beverages of the Mercado St. Augustine, all their choices that they have there. Also, I believe, also on Sunday, so you get some choices to make. At 4 p.m., they'll be hosting Cine Mexico, which is a long-running series at the Fox. Two films there, Ana Paula, which came out in 2023, which is in Spanish with English subtitles, and El Tesoro, also Spanish with English subtitles. Two short films that will be showing at the Fox, and a really good time. They do a really good job of curating films, especially the Cine Mexico, which shows you a lot of things that you might not see here in Tucson or anywhere, really.
Yeah, it sounds like they've really got some great films this year. Go ahead, Dan, what else?
One of my favorite musicians, Rihanna Giddens, if you watch the TV series Nashville, she was on there for a while. She'd be performing tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Rialto Theater. Tickets are going pretty fast. That's the thing that people say, right? You got to get tickets right now. But if you want to go get tickets, you probably should soonish. She is a banjo and other stringed instrument performer, captures sort of the African-American experience in Appalachia through music. Incredibly talented. One of those things that she comes through a fair amount, but you never know. She might graduate up, never come back again. But she's a truly talented musician. You will not miss the money you spend on the show. Doors at 7, show at 8. You can find more information at the Rialto's website.
We got a lot going on this weekend. I could take another couple of them. Well, at least one more item, please, quickly.
All right, I'm in. Let's do it. Today, 6 to 8 p.m. at Bacher Cider, which is right on 4th Avenue and 7th Street in the heart of the 4th Avenue District. It is Birds and Bingo. You can learn about birds, and play bingo with the Tucson Audubon Society. Fun prizes, 21 and older. Sorry, children, you cannot attend this, but you bring your friends. Everybody, birding's super hot here in Tucson, and Southern Arizona is really, truly one of the best places in the world to do birding. It is truly, it's a meditative practice in a way. You can go out there. It's not something you can make happen. You just have to like let it wash over you. You can learn more all about that from the Audubon Society today, 6 to 8 p.m.
Yep, just go with the flow. All right, Dan Gibson,
yeah,
have a great weekend. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, you too.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program, and the entire team that makes us feel so comfortable at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us wish you have a great weekend.